John Hunter is a tall, dignified man at the center of a small circus with kids between the ages of 9 and 12 dashing around a multi-level game board filled with toy soldiers and other props for the game Hunter developed 37 years ago. It's played over several days or weeks for a total of 20 hours by children assigned various roles.
Okay, so I see legal counsel, and I think this was the United Nations.
United Nations. World Bank is there at a table. We have a group of arms dealers.
We're getting the AWAC.
For how much?
A million.
That's not the right price.
We'll give you
a million. Is way too cheap.
We'll give you 30 billion.
But often, Hunter says, these arms dealers decide not to sell weapons because they want to keep their customers alive. The children are presented with various challenges as they draw random cards from a deck.
So one card says, a squadron of jets stray into airspace of the country to your west, attack fishing boats mistakenly. What will you do? Oil spill, tanker breaks up and leaks 3 million barrels of crude, and the cleanup is very costly. We have invent new medicine, stop the Y-17 disease, cost $2 million per dose. What will you do and who will fund it?
The idea, Hunter says, is to teach problem solving in a complex world. He guides the students through one crisis after the next. Today, for example, one country's satellite is stranded in space, and that's got another country up in arms.
It's casting a blasphemous shadow on his shrine. You just say, is it stuck in orbit? Doesn't say how many days?
3 game day.
I knew it was in there. I wrote it.
That's a killer satellite.
Okay. So, are you going to attempt to fix it, sir?
Yes.
Ms. Habermacher, is that a coin toss, or can they just say they fixed it and it's done?
Coin toss.
Coin toss, she says. There's a chance it might not work. Let's have a coin toss over there, please.
A bell signals the start of negotiations, a key part of the world peace game. Tanya Bingham, who's now starting a charter school in Richmond, was one of the first to play the game as a high school student.
One big thing for me was the power of choice. As a teenager, I was at the stage where I was sort of just reacting to life. And in this game, we had to slow down, and instead of reacting, we worked on resolving.
Now a junior at Yale, Grace Payne also recalls the lessons she learned in Mr. Hunter's class. She's watching today as he shows 26 teachers from around the world how it's played.
This game, for me, was part of what I think of as the John Hunter package. It was just this attitude that he adopted towards his students of really trusting them to take on these huge concepts, but be able to get past that and push themselves in ways that we didn't know we could.
Hunter retired from the classroom in 2014 to work full-time for his World Peace Game Foundation. He was invited to Austria and to Norway, where teachers Doris Sommer and Ivan Sorheim met him and got excited about a game that engages kids in a big way.
They are constantly acting something out. They're constantly thinking, they're constantly doing, they're constantly very active in their brains.
Yeah, because we got this body, right? And it's supposed to be moving.
And after a few days of training here in Virginia, they took the game home to share with their students, hoping, like John Hunter, to instruct a new generation in how to prevent wars and promote peace. I'm Sandy Houseman.